In the name of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, which is why you can have joy forever. Dear brothers and sisters, once upon a time, I was living in a cold and dark and desolate land that seemingly had seen no sun for months. The land was known as Wisconsin. It's where I grew up. I was in high school. And I really wanted to see some sun. And alas, my longings were going to be fulfilled because the choir that I was in was going to go on a special post-Christmas tour in still the cold months of the year, February, March, to a place called Florida. The Sunshine State! And I knew that I was going to be healed of my lack of sun, my affliction. We went to Florida and we did our duties. We did a number of performances at various places down there. It was a lot of fun. And then finally, on the last day before we were going to venture back to the dreadful, dark place called Wisconsin, my dreams were going to be fulfilled. We were going to spend a number of hours on the beach. And when we went to the beach, it was a sunny day. It was a beautiful day. And I went out onto the beach, and I took off my shirt, and I made a number of people blind around me because the skin was so white, it was just that it hadn't seen sun in months. But I took off my shirt, and I laid on the beach. Oh, and the sun, I was just basking in it, and I was feeling so good. I loved Florida. And there I was with my fellow young Wisconsinites basking in the sun. And again, remember, we hadn't seen sun in a while, and we weren't necessarily experienced in the art of sun tanning or sunbathing. So we figured the way we'd know when we had enough sun was to check our skin, and if we looked tan, then that was probably enough. But if we didn't see anything, we probably needed some more sun. And some of you know where this is going. So we kept lying there and lying there. By the way, I don't think sunscreen was even invented back. We didn't know what that was. So we lied there and we didn't see anything. We spent a number of hours on the beach just laying in the sun. And, it was nice. We got back to the bus to make the 18-hour drive back to Wisconsin, which we were going to do through the night on a coach bus. And within a couple of hours, we started to see the effects of the sun on our skin, and it wasn't tan. It went from blinding white to brilliant lobster red. And my skin became to get very angry with me. And I still remember, about 2:30 a.m., we took a brief stop at some scary place in North Georgia at some truck stop, and we got off the bus and we looked, and now we start to see almost blistering going in our skin. And our chaperone started to give us Advil and other things because we were running a fever. That was a long ride back. And when I finally got back to that dark and desolate place of Wisconsin, I said, I'm so thankful that I can't see the sun anymore. The sun is powerful. Can the sun heal? Yes. Can the sun destroy? Yes. That's a picture that God uses in the Word of God before us from the book of Malachi chapter 4 to describe what His Son can do. This is from the final chapter of the Old Testament. This is some of the final words that God's people would hear prophesied before God's Son would come hundreds of years later. And this is what we hear. Verse 1 of Malachi 4, surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. And you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. And you will trample on the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. Powerful words. The day is coming, the day of the Lord. It will burn like a furnace. God will come back, and you heard what will happen in verse 1. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. The idea there is of incredible destruction. God coming back like the rays of the sun and destroying the arrogant and every evildoer. How do you feel about that? It doesn't sound too Christmas warm and fuzzy, does it? But all the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. Now, I'm not going to accuse you of having any destructive, awful, morbid fantasies about people really getting it, but I bet deep down inside, that sounds like good news. Every arrogant and evil-doing person will finally get it in the end. Doesn't that sound nice to a degree? Think about this. When you're surfing the internet and you hear about some predator who was caught, some person who was doing unthinkable things to children and was caught, how does your heart react? Well, you're angry about that sin, but aren't you kind of happy that they got him? Or you see a new article pop up about a new star who was caught doing some scandalous thing. And maybe you feel bad, maybe you feel shocked, but deep down inside, just doesn't a little bit say, my God, thought he could use his privilege and power to hide that for all those years. No, that's right. You get him. Ha, get him. And isn't it true that our hearts do feel good when our brave men and women who protect our country take down evildoers who threaten us? And when you read a headline that says, we got them, with a picture of someone that would do harm and evil to us, I think it's natural that your heart, my heart does, says, yeah, got them. So when we hear these words, all the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble, we might say, yeah, good. Come soon, Lord Jesus. You want to start in my street? I've got a number of neighbors I'd like to discuss with you, and actually some of my extended family too, but are you listening? But here's the thing. The way that God defines evil and the way that we define evil aren't always the same. Oh yes, evil is included in all of those headline-making things that make you want to retch and get angry and shake your fist. That's all evil. But then Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Those who deserve eternal punishment are those who have not been perfect in my sight. It's not only those who have used their power and privilege and position to terribly abuse someone else. It's those who have lusted after someone else who is not their spouse, who've made internet searches they never should have made. God says, that's evil. I'm coming back because of that. It's not only those who plot awful acts of terrorism to destroy human life. It's those who gossip and backbite, those who get angry at members of their extended family and would like to see them get it, those who talk to their spouse as if their spouse were their servant, those who lose their temper and say things they shouldn't, that's evil too, Jesus says. Evil isn't just people who embezzle funds and rob many of their pensions. Evil are those who are are so greedy that they look at what their neighbor has and say, God, why are you holding out? Why don't I have his or her toys? Or those who say, I can't give. I can't be generous. I need more. And if I just have more in my bank account, then maybe I can feel better. With white knuckles, hold on to everything they have and call it good stewardship. God says that's evil too. God says evil is not only those who abuse their children, but those who don't act godly to their children. And children, you're not getting off the hook here. God says evil are those who do not honor their mother and father, those who roll their eyes and talk back. God says that's evil too. And the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogance and everyone who has done evil will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire. So what do we do? Step one, what we did to start this service. We come before our God and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm going to take just a moment from feeling so good about reading about the evil of others on the internet and in the news and trying to make myself feel better. And Lord, we need to have an honest conversation about what you already know. Lord, in my heart, in my mind, is selfishness and jealousy and greed and anger. And I've been trying to hide it. I've tried to cover it up. I've tried to do more good than bad, but it's there and I know it. My conscience tells me it. And I have guilt from years of what I've done that I shouldn't. Lord, I deserve your wrath, but dear God, have mercy upon me. And then our Lord, out of his goodness and mercy, says, yes, I am coming back, but, verse 2, for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. Jesus shows me the depth of my evil, and he'll keep doing that all of my days, and the more I grow in the faith, the more I actually realize how evil I've been. But then, Jesus also shows me the depth of his mercy that overcomes my evil and sin and the sin of the world. And Jesus shows me this wonderful day where he went to the cross and stood in front of the wrath of God himself and said, Lord, let it pour down upon me. Don't burn them, but instead let me be the sunscreen for your wrath. That's S-O-N, screen. On the cross is where Jesus died for all of my lust and envy and greed and sin and yours too. In fact, the sin of every sinner in the world. The headline-making sin and the sin that you've committed that no one will ever know but God. That all was taken care of at the cross. Where God said, let me die so that they might live. He walked out of the tomb on Easter, which proves now in God's sight all of your evilness is washed away. You look perfect to him. You do not look evil. And now he says, I look upon you as my righteous ones. Because of Jesus, you are forgiven. Because of Jesus, you are mine. Because of Jesus, I will not pour down my wrath upon you, but I will pour down my mercy upon you. And day by day, I will speak to you in my word, and I will send messengers to tell you this word so that you might be healed. The sun can destroy, but the sun can also heal. When you don't get enough sun, you can have seasonal affective disorder, depression, you can have other things. And so sometimes doctors will recommend sun lamps to sit under. And that sun, that healing will help. Jesus says that as he comes to us in his word, it will rise with healing in its rays. What happens? In that word, I'm healed from all that would destroy me. In that word, I have healing for the abuse of other sinners from years before, because Jesus says, I love you. I will never forsake you. Even if everyone else does, I never will. In that word, I have healing for my guilt that plagues me in the night and the day, because he says, you are forgiven. It's done. It is finished. In that word, I have healing for my fear, because he says, do not be afraid. I have every day planned out for you. I have every hair on your head numbered. I know when one falls and one grows, and you will never fall. I will plant you like an oak of righteousness, and you will grow forever. And that word, I have healing to all my longings and desires, wondering about who I am and where I'm going, because he says, you are mine and you're going to come and be with me. And then one day, you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. If people ask you, what's your vision for your life? Where would you like to go? I'm guessing you probably don't say, I'd like to one day end up like a well-fed calf. They probably look at you strange, but that's God's vision for you. Do you get the picture we talked about in the children's sermon a little bit? It's when those calves are pent up and finally they can get out into the spring sun and they jump and they frolic. If you ever see it, it is incredible. There's just joy that is unbounded. God says that's what we can be in his sight. If I am forgiven, if Jesus loves me, if he's coming back again, then finally I can jump around like a calf. Because I have healing and I will be with him forever. And then before he comes back, one more other thing he does to give us healing in life. I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. John the Baptist did that, but God sends other messengers with the word. You're one of them too. He sent you out as a messenger in your life. And as you use the word of God, an amazing miracle happens. As you are restored in your relationship with God, as that relationship is healed, then your relationships to each other can be healed too. He says, I will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Here's a secret about men. Men, please don't get mad at me if I'm giving this one away. They pay me to tell the truth here. So here's a secret about men. We're going to confess about the male race. Men want to be respected as full men. But deep down inside, if we can get away with it, men will often want to act like children all of the days of their life, like boys. Oftentimes, one of the curses of sin in the male race is they want to be respected like a man, but act like a boy all of their days. Stop looking at me angry, men. You know it's true. I'm confessing this too. Ask the women in your life. But if that pattern isn't checked, the men will give birth to children and check out. And they will not be the godly leaders of their family, and they can do such damage. God says that through the word of God, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Instead of serving themselves, he will empower fathers to love their children and to share with them the life-healing and life-giving words. And turn the children's hearts to their fathers. He'll restore family relationships. He'll restore marriages. He'll restore friendships. Because if I am healed and one with God, then I can be healed and one with you and with each other. And together we can share the joy that is ours. And then together we can say, the day is coming. Let's get ready for it. Let's confess our sins right now. Let's rejoice that God burned them all up on the cross. And Jesus, that he is our sunscreen. And then know that that day is coming when we will see Jesus. And he will not destroy us, but he will heal us. He will take us to be with him forever in heaven. And the sun will shine and we will rejoice. That day is coming. That day is coming. Get ready. Amen.